Welcome to episode 4 of the 12 Pound Podcast. I am your co-host, Robert, and I am here with my mom, Bobby. I want to remind everyone this is a podcast about life's changes and how we hope to help you face them. So, mom, today is Wednesday, July 27th. I'm going to read your horoscope.
Oh, good. I love horoscopes. Okay.
This is the Taurus Daily Horoscope. So for anyone who's interested, my mother is a Taurus, born on May 12th. She's a Mother's Day baby.
Every 7 years, the birthday falls on Mother's Day.
Every 7 years.
Yes.
So you're like a comet. Special to the universe.
Right, so
you come around every 7 years. Well, you may be convinced that you are right and someone else is wrong. But that kind of confrontational thinking can only lead to even deeper disagreements.
Mm.
There are areas where you can compromise even if you try, and it's essential that you identify them. Are you ready to compromise?
Did you make that up?
I did not. I'm looking. I am fiendishly addicted to the New York Post because I love the New York Post. And NewYorkPost.com is a wonderful website. They do not sponsor us, but I'm happy to promote them all day. And they have great daily horoscopes, which I look at.
Is that where that just came from?
Yes.
And you look at Taurus?
Of course. I look at my business partner, my mother.
To see what's going to happen that particular day.
To see what kind of attitude I'm going to be faced with.
Mine is saying, whatever you tell me, you're wrong.
Exactly.
It's good. It should be a great day.
Which is exactly what I tell you.
Right. It should be a great day. One thing that isn't right or wrong or applies to our horoscope is that this is our fourth episode. It's pretty exciting.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sleep deprived, but I'm glad you're doing well.
I'm doing great.
Well, I haven't been worried though. It's been exciting. Even though we took a little while to get to 4, I usually would be worrying a lot, especially around work. I was always thinking about whether I was going to get the project done on time. I was worrying about whether the work that I was delivering was going to be acceptable to my team, my colleagues, my clients. But there has been something really different about doing something for yourself that alleviates a lot of those worries, those big worries I had. And I know that's what our episode was originally framed as, is why worry. But we were talking yesterday and it was funny to hear you talk less about worries and more about what ifs.
Yeah.
What if this doesn't work? What if I don't get to the fourth episode? What if this plane goes down? Yeah. However you manage those worries, it really is a what if.
And the what if, you know, I'm sure our listeners, you know, if you're relating to those two little words, those two little words, and I'm going to give you another one in a minute, but those two little words, what if, can set up the worry. And not only can it set up the worry, if it goes into too many what ifs for too long, that worry can grow and grow into anxiety. So what if is futuristic. You know, you're looking down the road at something that might happen and you're worrying about it because probably the lack of control, would you say, Rob? Because you have no control over that. You just gave some great what ifs. I've had a what if today, probably more than one. If you let the what if go pretty quickly, change the thought.
It all started with a little what if.
A little what if.
I know that's something I really have struggled with over the years. I have a tendency to scenario things out. So when I'm thinking about doing something, or I'm thinking about having a difficult conversation, or I'm thinking about something that I'm trying to get more control over, the scenarios that I would tend to go through were something that I had to temper because I can't control them.
Yeah. You know,
I can't control what's next. I can't control what it's, you know, going to produce. You just have to go with it.
Words are so powerful. Words are so powerful. So, for example, you say, what if, I'm afraid to fly, by the way. I'm afraid to fly. I fly Air Lorazepam. You get on the plane and you say the most ridiculous things to yourself. I mean, you do not want to fly with me. You just don't. So in my head, I'm saying, what if the pilot were out last night? He's got a hangover. So if you hear yourself doing these crazy what ifs, stop right then and there and say, I'm doing the what ifs. So what if, use the same word, what if I change that sentence? What if this is the best pilot in the world and he knows how to get us there 15 minutes sooner? Make it a positive statement. If nothing else, it's kind of entertaining. You know, you've taken charge. You've taken some sense of control. What did you control? Your thought. Your thought. You took that negative thought and you made it a positive what if. You know, when we're talking about what if, and we'll get back to that, but when I said there was another word, and you can kind of group it into the same thing, to anxiety. And when you get into anxiety that gets more than fight or flight, meaning sometimes anxiety is good, I've got to move fast. You know, my adrenaline has to kick up because the lion is going to eat me. You know, so my adrenaline is kicked in. That's a good thing. I got to get the hell out of here, right? So that's a good thing. But when there is no, when it doesn't unkick, you know, then you're into generalized anxiety disorder. And I have a master's degree in, actually probably a PhD in anxiety. As I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to, you know, suffering from degrees of anxiety, you know, during your life. But this other word I was talking about is, which I've tried to completely eliminate from my vocabulary, is why. Why? Why do you think he said that? Why do you think they're going in that direction? Why do you think this person doesn't care for me?
So is that worrying about what other people think?
It can be. It can be, which you have no control over. And you're going over it and over it and over it in your mind. And what I've told myself when I start using that why is, why not? You know, why not? You know, I've pretty much lost that word over the years.
Yeah. If you find yourself thinking, I can't do this, I'll never get this assignment done, or a similar negative thought, your advice is good, because that's what I try to apply. I try to challenge it by asking if it's valid, is it helpful? You'll likely find that these thoughts are merely fueled by this anxious brain, which I inherited, honestly, from my family as well. So stopping those thoughts in their tracks is really important, and it's a discipline. And when I felt like that those thoughts were spiraling out of control, I would try to take a few minutes to focus on the present moment.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Where am I now? Taking my thoughts away from the past and the future and helping me recenter myself.
Exactly. And going back to, you know, it's funny how you're going to see, at least I'm seeing, all of this is so interconnected. It's so interconnected. We were talking about level one, and we were talking about energy, level one being the lowest form of energy. And that's worry and fear. You know, worry is also fear. I'm afraid. Fear has a lot to do with worry. Flying, worrying, weeks before the flight, while you're at the vacation spot, the flight coming back, because I'm afraid. You know, you're afraid. So level one, lowest form of energy, fear. We talked about, how long am I going to stay there? That's not that we're not saying that you're never going to go there, because you're going to go there. How long am I going to stay there? And what do I do to move?
I also think maybe just taking a step back is, what brought me there? So identifying the situation that made you worry, identifying that situation that made you anxious. So the thought, the worry that brought you to the anxiety, what was it?
Yeah.
I would be overthinking someone's response to the news I'm going to be giving them. Sorry, I can't make it to dinner. Or
what if?
The what if. Mm-hmm. So what if I tell them this and they respond in this way? I would be thinking in advance what that situation is going to look like before it even happened.
Right.
So, you know, those were just lessons that I've learned. Think about the present. Think about your own life. You know, don't get into other people's shit. And, you know, your journey is your journey and their journey is their journey. But, you know, you need to do what you need to do.
Yeah.
In a thoughtful way. Yeah. So those what ifs are everywhere.
They're everywhere, because it's also, you know, we talked about that before, I think, that when, you know, what if, I'll say it again, what if is a futuristic thought. So this future what if, and anytime you're thinking too much about the future, which most times you don't exactly what's out there, it's going to cause worry, it's going to cause anxiety. Just the opposite. People that live in the past, and we'll get into that at another time, because that's level two. People that live in the past can sometimes have a lot of anger issues, because they're mad about something that happened in the past. It didn't work out the way they wanted it to, and they're holding on to it. You know, they're holding on to that stuff. So, you know, that's more of a level two type of thing. We're talking about what if and whys. but basically just what if. And I would think that most of people listening, I would think you can relate to this, relate to periods of anxiety. Hopefully for you and most of our listeners, I hope they're just the lion chasing you. It doesn't get you. And that's the end of your anxiety for the day.
I wish it were that.
That's easy. My wish for you.
Yeah. Mine run the gamut. I'm a prolific worrier. So it's definitely something that I wrestle with. It's gotten better, but you know, worrying, about kids, worrying about family, worrying about career, you know, I worry about my health, all of these things, you know, that cumulatively can start to cause, you know, more distress, kind of that physiological response.
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've been there. Yeah. I've been in the doctor's office. I've been in front of a cardiologist.
You were having that heart attack?
I was having that heart attack. I was having the heart event. I didn't know why my breathing was erratic. I didn't know why my heartbeat was erratic. I was feeling dizzy. And he looked at me and, you know, he did the usual stuff, took the EKG and he took my blood pressure. And then, you know, after kind of running the basic tests, he looked at me and he put his pen down and he said, do you suffer from anxiety? And I said, well, you know, yes, I do. It's never been diagnosed, but, you know, I do get anxious and I've had a panic attack, you know, once before in the past. And he said, well, I think this is an anxiety related event, and that whatever's going on in your life right now, probably be good to look at it and realize that it's not worth your health. And that's how he showed me the door, which was basically...
Because a lot of times it's brushed. It can be especially more in the past. People, I think, are paying more attention now to anxiety and mental health. It wasn't paid a lot of attention to. That was great information. You know, must have calmed you down a little bit to hear somebody spend some time. No?
It didn't. I mean, I walked out of there like, my God, I am a mental basket case.
I was thinking, crazy.
To a heart attack. I'm driving myself crazy. Now I've brought on these health issues. Just having read a lot about this in the past, because I've known a lot of people who have, you know, suffered from autoimmune disorders that have been very difficult to diagnose, but they cause a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to doctor after doctor after doctor, and there's just no source for what's going on. I have a friend that's actually going through this right now. And you just keep going back, and you just keep feeling a little crazier and crazier. I don't know if he feels crazy, but I certainly did at that moment. I felt like I was, you know, kind of losing control over my own body. Getting back to what we were talking about, you know, the three main components of anxiety. You know, one of them is the physiological. And when you lose control of that, I think everything else, you know, gets...
Anxiety is such a... Oh, it's got so many. It's got hundreds of symptoms. And then what you tend to do, which just makes it so much worse, I'm going to Google my symptoms. I'm going to Google. I feel sorry for Google myself, the Googler. I try not to ever do it again. Because when I Google the symptoms, I have them all. I have MS... I mean, it's just amazing. I think there are hundreds of anxiety symptoms that people can have, from what you were talking about to, I mean, that's what it does. You know, that's what they mimic other things.
Yeah. Dizziness and headaches are two of the biggest.
Yeah. Culprits.
And when you really have them and they're severe, when you look up what causes those two things, it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Talk about what if, like, what if this is something worse, you know, what if I don't go to the doctor, or what if I go to the doctor and they don't give me the time?
And all of those what if questions while you're having anxiety are doing nothing but making the anxiety worse. It just gets worse and worse, because now you're worried, you know, the worry is just being exaggerated, you know, rather than, like you said, it's very important when you are going through anxiety not to shut down. Not to say, you know, I think I'll just stay put, or I'm kind of afraid to do that, so I'm going to, you know, not to do that. To when you find out your heart is healthy and everything is good, you're not going to fall down in the checkout line at Marshall's. So don't run. You know, you can just stand there. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to a question for you. Just curious. It's a What do you think one of the worst, this is from experience, what do you think one of the worst things you can say to someone that's having anxiety, just one of the worst things you could say? Calm down. So any people out there that happen to be living with or you or with somebody that...
I have to say, that to me...
Has anybody ever told you to calm down?
Not in the context of anxiety or worry, but not in anxiety. I mean, that would be a pretty big red flag.
It's not a good thing to say.
Yeah, it's not a
That's
good,
not a good thing to
I
say.
I would be questioning a lot of things beyond my anxiety. Yeah. So if I was having a health issue and someone told me to calm down... For me, I think I think the what's important is less thinking about or looking for someone to say something to me to calm me down. It's more, what can I do to alleviate this? Mm-hmm. And usually the first thing I have to do is redirect my thoughts. So I redirect them away from what I am really worried about just to take the weight off, just for a few minutes. I know it's not a panacea. It's not going to fix everything. And sometimes usually that's coupled with some type of physical activity, walking, running, swimming. For some people, it's yoga. Other people, it's more mindfulness stuff, meditation,
breathing.
So I think any of those two things. And then you do a little bit, for me, I do a little bit of diagnosis, meaning, well, what was causing that anxiety? Was it really... you know, the fact that I was, you know, worried about the presentation, or was it something bigger? You know, I really don't want to get back on a plane and go to Denver because I have to leave my family.
Mm-hmm.
So the presentation has very little to do with it.
Yeah.
What it actually has to do with is that I am in a situation where I am getting stressed about leaving home.
I learned a really good lesson when, I sold real estate for quite a while, and it can be a very stressful business because you're dealing with people's emotions. You're dealing with sellers who think their house is worth a fortune, and they love their 1952 carpeting. And you're dealing with mortgage people, you're dealing with home inspectors, you're dealing with all these personalities, and there's lots of fires that you have to put out. And I was the type of person that if there's a fire, I put it out right away, yesterday. So, you know, it's that mindset. I learned it didn't come overnight, but I learned that if I just slow down a little bit, because I'm, if you're type A and listening to this, or type triple A, right? If I just slow down a little bit, I don't have to jump up right now. I don't have to do it immediately. It just might take care of itself. And if it doesn't, then I've calmed down enough to step in and do it. And boy, it worked so much better. Most times, I have to say, a lot of it corrected itself. It was worked out. You know, Bobby didn't have to jump in there immediately and, and take care of everything.
Yeah, I think that's true in a lot of circumstances. If you just give things a little bit of time, time is so important. It can feel like it's a limited commodity, but it's good to allocate some of that time to letting something bake before you act on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I've been trying to do more and more of over the last couple of years, is give things a little bit of time.
Step back for a minute.
Yeah, stepping back is a good exercise.
Yeah.
But there are so many what ifs. I was thinking about what ifs last night. I was thinking about the pier. We were on Mariner's Landing at Maury's Piers. And I was thinking, what if the Maury's family had decided to put up a gate out front of this pier? What if they charged people to enter the pier?
Because they were thinking about that. They were making that decision back in the day.
I'm not exactly sure when, but I had seen an article that talked about that discussion. And I thought that was so interesting because it was, I guess I was thinking of it metaphorically, you know, opening up the pier versus closing it off, being an extension of something versus being set apart from it. And I think the fact that the boardwalk is this spine, you know, that runs through the center of the island and really keeps us upright. If you were to put a tourniquet on one of those extensions of it, like a pier, it would really impact the way that we experience the boardwalk. And I think that's what makes Maury's Pier and Mariner's Landing so special, is that we're all essentially free-range tourists. It's essential not to put up too many barriers to entry on how you want to approach something. You know, I've tended to put up barriers to entry because I'm worried about how it's going to be taken by others. So I guess I have these self-imposed boundaries that are only restricting myself.
Yeah.
When actually where I needed boundaries was to help me manage other people. And that's something, you know, again, it's a skill and it takes time to
It does. It's practice. It really does take practice. It takes practice. It takes some things seem to work themselves out just through experience. It's not even that you're consciously practicing every day. You've experienced it before. I've been in Marshalls where I wanted to bolt. I have. And after about the third or fourth time,
I think we need to talk about Marshalls.
No, I'm trying to think.
Marshalls.
I don't know. I'm in Cape May Courthouse. I can't say Macy's. You know, it's not here. So I'm just trying to think of something close by.
Poor Cape May.
Home Depot. Okay, so there you are, and you're a little bit anxious, and it's happened before, and nothing happened, and then all of a sudden, you don't have that problem anymore because through experience, you know, experience is a great education. It's a wonderful education in not just for problems in your life. You know, it's experience is just learning. You know, it's learning how to deal with things. And if you pay attention and you try to work on things, you know, that experience will get you through it. It would be interesting to hear from our listeners about your what ifs. Not so you don't have to go into a lot of detail, but is this something that almost how many times during one day do you think what if? You know, maybe not out loud because you're alone, but you're what-ifing it. WHATIF, what if? I'd like to hear from our listeners about the what ifs and also the whys, because that you hear an awful lot, people asking why. They ask you, why? Why do you think, I don't know. And why do you think Mrs. Jones would say that? I don't know.
Yeah. No, and I think, I suspect what we're going to hear with those whys, if it's related to work, is why can't I get my boss to stop emailing me at 9 o'clock at night? Why can't I get my teammate at the office to help me more? And I think that goes back to what I was talking about before, which is what we're going to be talking about next week,
mm-hmm.
which is boundary setting. So, you know, boundaries are, you know, the ability to protect your personal and your mental space, much like the fences between
yeah.
neighbors. And a lot of times it can involve a more difficult conversation with someone.
Yeah. Without hurting feelings, without severing ties, with sometimes, you know, it's a very, sometimes it can be a very slippery slope because it's a person very close to you, very, but that boundary is being crossed, not in a mean way, you know what I mean? Not in a, it's causing you anxiety, you know, it's causing you, it's too much, you know, it's too much. So what do I do with that? You know, what do I do with that?
Yeah, so we're gonna go looking for the boundary hunter.
The boundary hunter. Yep. That's great. That's
next
great.
Next week. And luckily for us, Maurice Pierce does not set boundaries. You are free to roam the boardwalk.
Free range.
Free range tourists, which we love so much. And we do hope that you join us up on the boardwalk every Tuesday at 6 o'clock at night. We are on the boards interviewing visitors up on Mariner's Pier at Skellinger Avenue around the Parent Pavilion. Those segments can be found on our YouTube channel. But as always, please look for us on your favorite podcast platform. We hope you like what you're hearing. Like, share, follow, and we'll continue to put out these episodes. We are having a great time, and we are having a great time with all of you. So thanks for tuning in every week, Mom. Thanks for sharing your worries today. and then I'm saying that, I'm like, I don't know if I heard any of your worries. I heard a lot of what ifs.
What if?
But
what
I didn't
if?
Hear any worries.
Not so many worries today.
Hopefully, Mom's in a worry-free mood. So we'll see if we can draw some of those worries out of her over the coming weeks as we get to know all of you and you get to know us.
Great. Sounds good.
Thanks so much.
Lucy of the Margate Sands, made of dreams and no tin cans. She's no diamond, fellas, but she shines the same. We with skin just like an alley book. There's no getting through to her. She loves everyone, don't matter whence they came. And if she were but not so grand, and I could set her in a ring, I would put her on your finger, and when I took your hand, I'd sing la-dee-da-dee-da. I'd sing la-dee-da-dee-da. Well, it ain't much, I know, but we can take her with us anywhere.